Okay, well, welcome everybody. This is a Climate Literacy Network weekly teleconference, and we start off with announcements of ongoing activities and information about various projects at this time, and then we'll move into the presentation. So I'll ask now, are there any announcements?
We just opened up, this is Kristen Poppleton, we just opened up registration for our Summer Institute for Climate Change Education, which will be August 7th and 8th, and I'll send the announcement out to the network. But if you would have people, probably more specifically in the Midwest, that are interested in joining us, we will not be doing a webinar piece, but... we have travel
Kristen,
and accommodation.
Kristen, you want to say where you're from, and where you actually are.
We have a larger group today. I'm with the Will Steger Foundation, and we are based in Minneapolis, in Minnesota.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Other announcements? So I'll let everybody know that we're trying to bring in another group of climate-focused projects. NSF has a set of projects funded through, it's called DRK-12, Discovery Research K-12 Projects. And there's a very large group of environmentally focused projects, and we're submitting a session proposal today during the PI meeting to get those projects together and potentially have them join our larger network of climate focused efforts, and so we're hoping to bring in that larger community. Their PI meeting is in June. Okay, are there any other announcements? Okay, if not, we will move on to the presentation.
Question? What, yes? I am not able to get in to the Blackboard. Is the ID, the one on the email, the same one that we had to put in for the conference?
No, if you go into that website and just put your name in.
Just put your name in. Okay, so
put your name in.
Like my nickname or my formal name or what?
And the way you want it to appear in the list that everybody can see,
so
we know who you are.
I'm not registered on here as having a name.
No,
okay,
there's no registration.
Okay.
Okay, let's see here.
Hello, this is Andy.
Hi.
Recording.
I'm going to move into the presentation. So can people see my first slide, which is has a tan background?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll get started with this. Most of you know who I am. This is Tamara Ledley. I'm at Turk in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I chair the Climate Literacy Network, so I'm on this call most of the time. But for this presentation, I'm describing the efforts of the CLEAN Pathway Project. CLEAN is the Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network project, and it is a project to review and create a vetted collection of educational resources around climate literacy and energy awareness. And so we'll go to the next slide here, and I'm just going to give you an overview now of what the purpose of this presentation is. Many of you have heard about this effort before. Over the past 2 years, we've been funded since January 2010 to develop a collection of 500 resources under our current funding that are reviewed that address the climate literacy essential principles and energy literacy principles. And so through this process, we've developed a number of services that can be leveraged by climate change education projects and proposals. Many of the NASA projects and those projects that have previously been funded through NSF, NASA, and NOAA have heard at some level about this. We've made presentations on this call in the past about our review process. Now we want to provide an overview of what we can provide, especially in the context of the NASA Climate Change Education Partnership Phase 2 projects, which are in the process of being developed right now to be submitted in a couple of months. So an overview of these services, which I'm going to talk about each of them in much more detail, is and the one that is really the largest piece that you probably will be interested in is the review process to vet climate change education resources. Other pieces that we can offer is the Clean Widget, which is a small piece of code that you can put on your project website that will bring resources that have been vetted and are in the Clean Collection directly to your website. We've also developed some virtual professional development mechanisms that you might take, be able to take advantage of. One is a virtual workshop over a period of days, and the other is a shorter 2-hour interactive webinar, and we'll get into a little bit more detail of that. And then the Clean Community, which the Climate Literacy Network was the initial member of this much larger community, and we'll describe that in a little bit more detail also. So this slide is the Clean Portal, the homepage. It has a number of pieces to it. The first item is a Teaching Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness. This provides educators and others information about the specific climate literacy essential principles and energy principles and what's difficult to teach about them and how they can use resources to support them. And we'll look at that in a little bit more detail. The second one is browsing the reviewed collection, so that it's an entry into the collection. Again, we'll look at that in more detail. And the third one is the Clean Community. On the right-hand side, we won't talk about these in as much detail, but we have a featured resource and then more information about the project. So that's the homepage. If you click on that first item on this page is Teaching Climate and Energy Literacy. This is the page you come to. Now, in this PowerPoint, we have a number of screencasts. You'll all be able to see this screencast as it goes, as we play them here. If you have a PC and download it, I didn't realize it, but it doesn't work. The screencast doesn't, but if you have a Mac, it will work. So here we'll go ahead and play this, and I'll talk through it. This is the top page of the Teach About. So this just really provides what are the climate literacy essential principles, what are the energy literacy principles. And then it goes on to show Principle 1 here, and this provides more information about this particular principle. It gives a summary, why is the topic important, what makes this principle challenging to teach, and how can I use it in my teaching. And you'll notice here, let me go back a bit. On the right-hand side, this piece that says the AAAS Benchmarks for Science Literacy, this provides an avenue for you to see which benchmarks are addressed by this particular principle. And we'll show you those in more detail also. It also provides information about the different levels of that you may want to teach this at: middle school, high school, lower level college, and upper level college. So if we go on to the next slide, again, we're now back at the Clean Portal, and we're going to go into this next item, which is Browse the Review.
Tamara?
Yes?
Excuse me, Tamara, could you just mention which slide number when you say the next slide, just make sure we're on track?
Okay. I actually can't see that myself. Anna, can you tell me which slide number is this one?
I can't. I think it's the fourth. It says the Clean Portal.
Right.
Shows the URL again. Maybe Tamara just read the title. I can't see them.
Let's see.
Thank you.
I can probably do that. We're on slide 5. So slide 5. All
right.
I'll try
Great,
to remember
thanks.
To say that. Okay. All right. So we're going to now go on to slide 6. And if you've clicked that going into the collection, you will you'll come to this page, and I will. So this is a screencast also. You'll notice now that we have 365 resources in the collection now, and that you can search them in a number of ways. On the right-hand side, there's a section called Refine the Results, and for each one, you can you'll see that there are a certain number of these 365 resources that are activities, 194 are activities. Each resource is tagged with all of this information, and you can click on any one of these to narrow down the view. So if you want an activity that is at the middle school level, you will be able to narrow down that. Oops, that went too far. I think we wanted to continue this movie here. So this is going to show you this 365 resources again, and you'll see the different things that it's tagged with. Resource type, energy and climate topics, grade level, the climate literacy principles, the energy awareness principles, and the benchmarks for science literacy. So those are the range of things that things are tagged with now that we make visible through this collection. Now, if you want to go to a particular resource, another way to search the collection is to type in the open search box. And here we're just going to type in carbon cycle and do a search. And you'll see now we have 109 resources. And then you click on one of the carbon cycle, and this is the actual catalog record in which we have the title and the URL, then a description of the resource. And then in the blue box are the information from our review process, the teaching tips about the science, about the pedagogy, and about the technical quality. If you go further down, you can see you can start a discussion with this about this resource. We also have information about the topics that are addressed and the grade level, the climate literacy essential principles, and also the benchmarks that are addressed. And so we're going to look at this resource actually again, and this time we're going to, in the screencast, we're going to look at the alignment to the benchmarks, the AAAS benchmarks for science literacy. So right now we're going to straight to that section here. That gives you an overview of what this particular benchmark is, but then we have the concept maps, and you'll see that the item in the middle is the benchmark that the resource is aligned to, and it has information about that. And then in that box, it has other resources that are aligned with this particular benchmark. Then we have resources that are benchmarks that are at a higher level, and we show the resources, the information about that particular benchmark, and the resources that address that particular benchmark. And then if we go further down, you can see that these are supporting concepts, concepts that support learning about the concept that the resource that you started with addresses, and then information about resources in the collection that address that particular benchmark. And if you notice this one, because it's lower down, the resources only they address grades 6 through 8, whereas the one in the middle and higher address the high school level. So resources are addressed in that way. And then there's also another tab in here where it's the alignment to the National Science Education Standards. And the plans are, although not under our current funding, is to put the new standards in here once they're available. It's also an opportunity. We can add other tabs here, so that if you have want within your project other things aligned, it's possible to add other tabs in this box and create those alignments. Okay, so we'll go to the next slide. So that's an overview of what we have, but how do we get there? And so I'm going to give you an overview now of the review process that we go to get to this collection of what's currently 365 resources. And so the resources that we've been reviewing so far have been those that we've found in various pools of resources that are out there online. We're evolving that process to continue to include those kinds of resources, but also to work with particular developers who would like to submit their resources to us for review. So the first step in this process is to enter resources into an online form in which we conduct a formal triage where we need to assure that the resources actually address climate, energy, environmental science, those kinds of topics that align with what's in our collection. If a resource gets into the review tool through that track, we have two rounds of review. And we'll get to the review criteria in a minute, but they address the scientific accuracy, pedagogical effectiveness, and the technical quality needs of use of the resource. And we have our clean team reviewers who conduct these reviews, and it's a combination of educators and scientists who conduct these two rounds of reviews. There are, in this review process, these reviewers add comments that they have with respect to the review, and then they rate the resources either medium, low priority, medium priority, and high priority. A resource that passes these two rounds of review with either medium, a combination of medium and high priority, are moved on to the review camp. The review camp is modeled after the federal agency's panel review process for proposals. We have teams that are made up of four, each team has four members, which include the expertise of the educator, the scientist, and one of the members of our clean review team. And there's four members of this team, and they're given a group of resources that have passed the two rounds of review, and each of the members of the team presents a set of material, a set of these resources to the team, and they discuss them. And all of the information is put together in a review tool, which I'll also show you in a minute. Resources at this stage are then the review panel decides whether or not it is passed into the collection or has failed, and if it, in either case, it provides the annotations, that information that we added to the resource that you saw earlier in one of our catalog records, basically the information that accompanies that actual resource. There is also an opportunity for a resource to if the panel can't make a decision, to move that on to our editorial board, which considers the resource further. Resources that have that pass the panel are then sent on to our expert science review. On our team, while there's a wide range of scientific expertise, most of us are not expert in every single area that a resource might address. And so we seek an expert science review in the specific topic of the resource that is being considered. A resource that then passes a science review is then cataloged in the system, annotated with those various vocabularies, aligned with the benchmarks, and then becomes part of the clean collection. One of the things we are planning to begin to implement this year is an iterative review process where we work with developers as they're developing it. The review criteria are available online, and we would work and move in an iterative way so that we can assure that a resource, once it gets to the point of going through this review process, has already achieved the level, basically the bar to be passed into the clean collection. So let's just take a quick look at the review criteria. In our first year, we focused exclusively on learning activities, and our review criteria have a various numbers of questions around scientific accuracy, pedagogical effectiveness, and then the usability or technical quality of the resource. In our second year, we opened the collection further to visualizations, videos, short demonstrations, and experiments. And obviously, the videos and visualizations have fewer questions around the pedagogical effectiveness because they're not always designed. These are pieces that, through an informant pool that we have as part of our project, has told us that educators at the middle school, high school, and undergraduate levels are all looking for these visualizations and videos, short demonstrations, to insert into what they're already teaching. So we knew that there was a high priority on these items. So we have these four areas of covered with review criteria now. We're in the process of developing a fifth type of review criteria for pieces that are larger than a learning activity, units or modules. And we have also received requests for review criteria for informal science education materials. We would like to do that. We don't have current funding to do that. But then you also might consider in your various projects that none of these actually fit your materials either, and we can work with you to develop a review criteria that would address the resources that you have in your inventory or the materials that you're developing now. So if we go to the next slide. So now we've talked a lot about the process and the resources that are in the collection. What I want to talk to you now is about show you now is the tools that we have to basically keep all of the information organized as we develop, as we go through this review process. So this is a screencast, and before I start, I want to point out, this is, you'll see that while we have 365 resources in the collection now, you'll see on the left-hand side here that there is 1,891 resources in the review tool. Some of these are ones that have failed. Some of these were considered interesting but not within the scope of the current review process. Like I said, the first year we focused solely on learning activities. So there's a lot of other things in here, and you'll see that in each of these boxes, it indicates who was assigned to be the resource collector, and if it's green, it means it's past that step. Red means that it hasn't been addressed, and yellow is sort of in process. And so we're going to have this screencast go so that you can see the review tool for a particular step. So there's the 1891 matches that we have now. And I think I'm going to, you can search by topic here. So I'm just going to find a particular resource related to sea ice. And that's going to come up. And we're going to go through, and we're going to look at step 10. Step 10 is the review panel step, and as you'll see here, all of the information for the first and second rounds of review are all here for the review panel to look at. As a review panel discusses it, there's a place for them to put in notes into this review tool. And as you go further down, you'll see that on the right-hand side, there's the information to be displayed to the public. This is the information in that blue box in the catalog record we showed you earlier. And the panel puts together this information based on all the information that's been gathered through the review process, through the first rounds of review, the first two rounds of review, and the science review, and the discussions in the review panel. So that gives you an overview of the technology that we have behind this that actually keeps the information organized and available for anybody who wants to view it. We're going to make this in a way such that when we do this iterative process with collectors, that we can actually provide useful information to the developers of materials so that they can improve them. So I'm just going to summarize here kind of the review services that we have. We can review your existing resources, review existing resources in your inventory using our existing process and review criteria. We can also think about customizing the review criteria as appropriate for your particular collection of materials or for your particular community or partnership. And we can also conduct a peer review iterative process where we work with curriculum developers that are part of your partnership, maybe not funded under your particular funding, but your partners probably are in the process of developing various kinds of materials too. And so we can work with them to also assure that their resources are can be brought to a level to be accepted into the clean collection. So I'm going to move on to the next kind of service we have. This is the clean widget, and I'm going to show you a screencast of this. This is, you can put in a small amount of code into your, let's see where, oh, here it is. And so there are, it shows this box here on the left, this rectangular box. The bottom half are called attractors, and that can be customized for your particular community, and there's three of them. You can also then enter a search term in here, and here I said sea ice, and then this will show very short descriptions of the resources, and you can get a little broader description, and on the third click it takes you to the actual catalog record of that particular resource where you have that description. In the blue box you have the information that has come from the reviewers to help educators or others use the material more effectively, and then the topics and standards that it addresses. So this can be used in a pretty much stand as it is way where you don't do very much to customize it, or with additional funding we could customize it further to be more appropriate for your site. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little bit about the professional development activities we have here. These are, if you want to go to the portal, you can see more about it if you go to the Clean Community page, which is this bottom one. And right now we're going to just go directly to the Webinars and Workshops section. We have two kinds of workshops and webinars now. One is the workshops for undergraduate faculty, and you'll see there are two of these scheduled for 2012. These are virtual, so you don't travel anywhere for them, but they do occur over a period of 2 weeks. In each week, it is 2 days, and in each day, it's 4 hours of synchronous participation. This is a right now the way they're designed is partially presentations from climate scientists and educators, and then in these venues, the undergraduate faculty bring various kinds of activities that they've implemented in their classroom, and develop them in a way to address the review criteria of the Clean Collection. Resources that have come out of these previous workshops, you'll see the results of the 2011 workshops, one was about climate and one was about energy, have gone through the review process, and some of them are now actually in the Clean Collection. So the content of these can be modified for any particular project that has a particular interest. These are all recorded so that anybody can come and listen to and view the workshop at another time. So you can go into the ones from 2011 and view the entire workshop. You can also see the resources that were developed as a result of them. The other part is the interactive webinars for teachers in grades 6 through 12. These are monthly at this point. They're 2 hours. And the structure is to have the first hour, we identify, each one is identified with a particular climate literacy essential principle. And then we have a scientist and an educator who, in the first hour, present information about a piece of that climate literacy essential principle, pointing to resources within the collection that can help you teach that particular science. And then in the second hour, have a discussion with the participants on the phone. We've given them the opportunity to review some, to take a look at resources in the collection that we point out to them that address that particular science. And then we have a discussion about how they might use that resource in their teaching, what other supports they might need to help them teach that particular science, and give each other ideas about how to move forward. So these are both venues that we have implemented now and could adapt to any particular with any particular content focus that the other any of the projects that you're developing proposals for might have. So as we move on to the clean community, we are going to be evolving the structure of the Clean Community page, but there's a number of pieces of it that you might be able to make use of. First of all, there's a Climate Literacy Network. You're on the Climate Literacy Network call now. We have a weekly teleconference every Tuesday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. There are currently 325 people on the Climate Literacy Network listserv. We regularly have between 15 and 20 people on the call, and I'd say about half the time we have a presentation and half the time we have a discussion around various topics. We coordinate participation around climate literacy topics at various professional meetings. A lot of projects make a presentation and get input from this community around particular issues that they're grappling with in their project. So this is one avenue that your project can make use of the Climate Literacy Network effectively. We also have a listserv for clean announcements, so that for the most part, these are announcements about the at this point about the professional development activities that we have, but we can get messages out to a broader community. We have a clean Facebook page. We also announce the Climate Literacy Network calls, activities that are going on, professional development opportunities. There's also a venue within the clean community for materials and guidance for resource developers, and this will be expanded as we evolve this iterative process with resource developers now. Please try to mute your phone if you have some bad feedback there. Thanks. We also have a collection of active climate change education projects. This currently appears in the Climate and Literacy Network page. We began this collection around the time that about 2 years ago now, possibly around the time that the CSEP Phase 1 projects were being proposed. and the collection now has 46 projects. We know there's many more than that, and we'd like to make that area more active. There's also going to be an avenue to feature and provide avenues for CSIP Phase 2 and others projects to communicate and leverage each other's efforts. We have a few projects in that venue now, but we hope to build on that also. So another aspect that we can provide to the community is our gap analysis. So once we have a collection, identifying where we have resources that address the climate and energy principles and where we need to include more resources. Now, this is an overview, and this was as of last March when our collection was only 92 resources of addressing each particular essential principle. But we're close to completing the gap analysis, including all the resources that have gone through our most recent review process, which is the 365 resources that are currently there. And so this is an example of one. This is for essential climate literacy, essential principle 1. For each component of it, essential principle 1, A, B, C through E, and then identifying how many resources we have that are activities, that are videos, visualizations, and demonstrations and experiments, and also the grade level that it addresses. And one thing to note is that sometimes a resource addresses multiple grade levels, so you can't just sum them up, but it sort of gives you a good picture. And one thing to point out here is we have a significant hole. In Essential Principle 1E, we have 0 resources at the moment. So this is an area where you can think about finding resources, but then also contributing resources that you might have to fill those holes. So this is can summarize now that I've shown you a lot of things. This slide is intended to give you the URLs. I've sprinkled the URLs through the presentation. These also appear in the abstract on the Climate Literacy Network page, but you can get to all of the pieces here that I've shown you, the clean portal. The one thing that I didn't show explicitly but was on the website is that you can see a screencast overview. It's about 6 minutes long of the clean portal. So you can take a look at that, then look explicitly at the clean collection. Then the review process and review criteria. The review process is described in great detail on the website along with the details of the review criteria, which I only showed you a very brief overview of. Then more information about the widget and about the professional development activities we have. And then the clean community, the Climate Literacy Network, the Climate Change Education Project descriptions, the clean announcements in the Facebook page, and then lastly the clean collection gap analysis. So that's a summary of the various kinds of activities that we have going now. So this, again, is the home page with the URL and my contact information. And with that, I've completed the presentation, so we're happy to have answer any questions or have a discussion further about what we have here.
Hey, Tamara.
Yeah?
It's Dave Jones.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Do you have any, or are you anticipating the clean portal to offer content on, so, you know, you can grab presentations and give them to the average citizen? You know, if people were desiring a presentation on different aspects of climate change, or do you just suggest searching through the portal and finding a topic that is, I mean, it seems like this is more formal education, but the informal education resources, I'm wondering if you're planning on putting here as well.
Well, as I said earlier, we had not yet created review criteria for informal education resources, but that's definitely within what can be in the portal. So what we'd like to do is to partner with groups that will have will be looking to vet informal education resources such as those kinds of presentations, and then work with them to develop that review criteria and have them in the collection. The funding that we currently have was focused explicitly on grades 6 through 16 and educators. So that's why it's narrow in that focus now, but it doesn't need to stay that way.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know that, too, like NOAA's climate portal, Climate Watch, has a great, you know, has some resources on it as well for presentation.
Can somebody mute their phone? You have some feedback in the background. Thank you.
Tamara, this is Frank Niebuhr. You know, I mean, I think one way of looking at the presentations is I think they're very valuable for formal education as well. But I think your larger point is that, you know, we in our original scope, we could have added other types of resources or other resource types. But, you know, we had the funding we had. So I think, you know, that could be valuable down the road. And perhaps as we move into the sustainability phase beyond the grant phase, we can, you know, add those types. But I think the structure is the most important thing, and it does allow that. There's a process for adding those types of things that Dave's bringing in.
Right. So, Dave, is it to point out, while we don't have presentations explicitly, we do have visualizations and videos. And a lot of times the videos weren't developed for a formal context, but something that could be used in a way. And that is why we developed that review criteria. But as Frank said, the collection can be open to developing these other review criteria. And the structure of how to go about that is something that we have to offer that's already in place.
Yeah, no, that sounds great, and I appreciate that. It's been a lot of work getting this together, and so you're right. The content to get on is maybe more or less easier than putting together the framework. So thanks a lot, Tamara. This is helpful.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Tamara?
Yeah?
This is Jennifer Hammonds with National Wildlife Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And we just submitted our curriculum for review with NASA. Should we wait until that review process is complete before we submit the claim?
Not necessarily. You've submitted it, to the NASA process?
Yes.
Okay. It depends on how you feel the resources are, what shape they're in now.
Okay.
If you anticipate I'm sure that the NASA process will make some suggestions for modifications.
Mm-hmm.
But we would be very willing to. I mean, as it goes through, it would be probably better and more timely for you not to wait and to get it into the review process, because then as issues come up, you can contact us. And first of all, you get it into the review process, and if you've updated something, then somebody who's reviewing it will just see the updated version.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And you can always work with us to let us know if you're making changes.
Okay. Super.
Tamara, how long does the review process take from beginning to end once something is submitted?
All right. Well, that's a very good question. The way the process has been set up at this point was that it's taken a year, and that's because we've gone through it. The first year we were basically developing the process, and as we got past each one, we had to develop the next step. And then in the second year, we opened it up to a larger range of resources. And in each year, we had these review camps, which were a very large event where we had about 25 people all coming to Colorado. Since then, we have implemented regional review camps, and we've run one of those, and we will be doing two more in this spring and summer, which can be done more quickly and are shorter. But the more effective mechanism that we've developed is a virtual review camp, in which it's a half a day, 4 hours, and you don't have to travel, and those can be run much more frequently. So the initial answer is that it's generally taken a year, but we could evolve this process once we get to the point of really doing virtual review camps, potentially doing that more quickly.
So, Tamara, this is Susan. There's no doubt that we can do this faster. Anna, do you have a thought on how many months it would take to go through review and do a virtual camp as our most effective mechanism?
I do, yes. We actually have had fairly quick turnaround the first year, just like Tamara said, it took a year, but last year we reviewed resources within 3 to 6 months. So we had some submitted, for example, from the professional development in Clean or other developers, and those got reviewed within 3 to 5 months.
It also depends on how soon, you know, if you're submitting at the beginning of a review cycle, so you're in the queue ahead of the other resources, I think it
helps. Yeah. Which is why I said don't wait to submit your resources. It's probably better to get it into the queue now. And of the ones to mention, so that was Susan Burr who spoke up. She is a co-PI on the Clean Project, and Anna Gold is a project manager, and they're both at the University of Colorado in Boulder at Ceres. So just so everybody knows, rest more of the team. Are there other questions? So this is an overview of the activities that we could offer a lot of different projects. What I encourage everybody to do is, as you think about what might be most useful for your projects, to contact me so we can talk through how we might, what might make the most sense for your particular project and how, what pieces might need to be customized to make it work more with your projects.
Jennifer, you typed in the chat that you had a question. Did that get answered?
It did get answered. Thank you.
Tamara, this is Frank. I have a question.
Yeah.
So, do you foresee ways that this project would work with other projects out there? I'm thinking about scope or reach and how, say, a CSEP Phase 2 project would. Have their gain more, hits to their content through working in Clean. Does that open up a door for a conversation or is your
part? Sure. I mean, the way I envision this happening, I mean, at least for the, as Frank mentioned, the CSEP Phase 2 projects, one of the pieces that all of you have needed to identify is an inventory of the resources that you potentially have that would address, be useful in your communities. And what we can do is take that inventory of resources and put them through the review process, identify which ones are excellent, identify what might be done to help move others along, and then potentially identify those in areas in which you may need other resources. And then once your resources are in the collection, you can, first of all, they would be available to a much more extended audience, those beyond your particular community. You can also make those resources visible to your own community, so now you have a reviewed collection without having to go through the effort that we've gone through in the past year and a half or 2 years to actually build the infrastructure that provides this level of review. I described that review process, and if you count it up, we have 5 to 7 people review every single resource, and that's much more rigorous review than even most research papers get for a journal. So, but it's needed because of the two areas that need to be addressed: the science side and the education side. So, I don't know if some of those groups out there have questions about the mechanisms how this would help their particular project, or ways that we would feature it. Your collections could also be featured within the community page or your community activities also. So it allows a larger outreach for your resources, as well as providing an avenue to access to resources that have been reviewed and have been shown to be excellent. Are there other questions or comments? Okay, well, let's see. One area that I know would also address these your various projects is I showed you those concept maps. And if you think about it, right now the alignment is with the climate literacy essential principles in those boxes and AAAS benchmarks and the science education standards. If your particular CSIP has other kinds of standards, state standards that you might want to address, those can also appear there so that you can once things are aligned with the benchmarks, you'll be able to provide that alignment across the other kinds of standards that you might have.
And Tamara, on that point, the efficiency in those boxes between the benchmarks and the old national science education standards, as the new standards come out, there might be value for the community to have kind of a one translation or alignment process between these initiatives as opposed to everyone working on this simultaneously. I think looking for those efficiencies would be very valuable. The other thing that I think other people might find valuable, as the energy literacy, which is related, comes live, and we hope in about a month, Clean is working on aligning those concepts to the benchmarks, like we did with the climate literacy. And I think not every project, but some projects might find that also a valuable way of adding content to their process.
One thing I want to make everybody aware of is as we began our process, the climate literacy essential principles were established, embedded, but there were no energy literacy principles at that time. And so our team got together and we made a set of high-level principles so that energy resources in the collection are currently tagged with those, but we have in process now a realignment of all of those resources with the energy literacy principles, which are on the verge of, we have a copy of it, but they're on the verge of being published. So those will be available to everybody also. And the resources will be realigned in the collection with those energy literacies.
And on that point, most people don't know this, that they have been approved by the U.S. Global Change Research Program agencies and also the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. So they will be released. They're finished. There's no changes to the text. So they will be finished and released. They're in laying out days right now, so it's just a matter of time of getting that project done. But the text of them is complete, and I believe the Energy Literacy Wiki has a copy of that, the latest stuff. I'm not certain that's the case.
Right, and we will. And I've talked to people at AAAS. I mean, we know that the science education standards are being developed now. The new generation standards are being developed, and so again, there will be an alignment between the benchmarks and those new standards, and then resources you'll be able to see how they address these new standards also through those concept maps that I showed you. Okay, are there any other questions or thoughts?
Well, only to say this is a huge amount of work from not just you, Tamara, but everybody working on these reviews. I think it's a major contribution to the field, and I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Well, thank you, Dan. It is a testament to the team that we have between TURC, the University of Colorado Boulder at Ceres, and CERC at Carleton College, and then partnerships with the Colorado School of Mines and NOAA, we have a great team. And I also must say that input from the Climate Literacy Network over the years has been very helpful, too. Okay, well, if there are no other questions, I invite all of you to think about it, to contact me, to set up a time to talk about your specific project and how we might partner to provide these services to you. If you have any suggestions of others that we might contact, please let me know that also. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.